Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
Tom Brady is my Lord and Savior.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
That ball's drilled to left field. Is it fair or foul? It is fair and gone. Jose Altuve, home run number 22 on the season. And the Astros lead 2-0.
All right, 22. We're feeling 22 today because not only was it Jose Altuve's 22nd home run of the season, Framber Valdez got his 22nd consecutive quality start, which is an MLB record. For left-handers, I'm Vanessa Richardson. That's Paul Gallant, Sean Mapes with you. As we kick off this hump day, how you doing, Paul?
It's been a struggle of a morning.
Has it been a morning?
For those who don't know.
I'm old.
Yeah, 33 years old. That's not to say people older than me are 33, but I'm starting to feel the wear and tear of age. So I got up this morning. I normally wake up in the morning at 6 o'clock. What I did was I put on my robe, which does seem rather old when I
incredibly old
talked about it with you guys, put my slippers on because, I got to have the orthotic support since I've got the, plantar fasciitis. And next thing I know, it was 8:30. Apparently, I fell asleep. Now, even worse, in a moment of perhaps, early onset dementia or just being a forgetful idiot, I also forgot to bring in my headphones.
Forgot your headphones. Well, my Nana had dementia, and she, by the end of the time, was feeding her couch. So have fun with that. But you're feeling okay, right?
We're alive. That's all you can ask for at age 33.
I felt, I'm making fun of you, though. I went to a bar and ate alone last night and, totally vibed with a cocktail to myself, listened to some jazz music.
Nothing wrong with that.
So, hey.
No, you had a good night last night. I mean, I was just a... nightcap short, a literal nightcap short of looking as Sean Mapes described for the show. I'm going to let you take it away, Sean.
You look like Ebenezer Scrooge, or at least that's what I pictured in my head is the Ghost of Christmas Future visit you during your 2.5 hour nap this morning. Before you even get your day started, you need it. Also, waking up at 6 is also subtly an
Old
man.
Might be giving up on that soon.
That's incredible. So do you go to bed at like 8 p.m.?
No, I usually go to bed at like midnight.
There you go.
This is probably a bad idea. I think that's why I was tired. So there we go.
So the Astros did announce Justin Verlander's injury. He's 39. He's a little bit older than you, but he, unlike you, is still going strong. His MRI revealed, I believe is it fascial disruption? It is a calf injury, and it's, you said you have plantar fasciitis, right?
Yeah.
So it's actually related to that exact the fascial whatever it is that surrounds the muscle. All of the at least I admit that I don't know what that is. All the doctors on Twitter yesterday were doing deep dives and acting like they have PhDs.
I have to say, it's very critical that Justin Verlander didn't suffer anything serious than a sclubal scumdum sclubum bump.
Dr. Gallant on the scene. So Verlander was placed on the 15-day IL, but he met with the media virtually, and here's what he had to say about that injury.
What the doctors said was, there was an injury, but when it comes to calf injuries, I feel like I really kind of dodged a bullet here where the muscle isn't actually involved. It's more the fat. It's not more. It is the fascia, which I feel pretty fortunate about because I didn't realize how serious even a very minor muscle calf injury can be. If that were to happen, we'd be having a much different conversation. But apparently fascia heals much faster. Look, it is an injury. It's not nothing. Obviously, I went on the IL. So, obviously that's a bit disappointing. But as far as the spectrum of calf injuries go, I feel like this was about as good a news as I could have gotten.
I think the fact that it's a word like fascia kind of freaks me out, but he sounded optimistic. It's nothing with his arm, nothing with his elbow, and it sounds like it could have been a lot worse.
Don't you wish all Astros players got to talk about their injuries like Justin Verlander just did there? I mean, that was a couple of paragraphs, it felt like. That was an essay. And hearing that it's going to be a 15-day stint on the IL, you're relieved. I think it's easy to assume the worst with somebody who's age 39, especially when he's in the midst of a year like Verlander is, where he seems to be the American League Cy Young frontrunner. Will he still win it after missing a little bit of time? Honestly, I think he should with the numbers that he is putting up this season. And now you just wonder, is he going to be the same guy when he comes back? But, you know, the way he's talking about it doesn't seem like he is all that concerned now that he actually knows the extent of it. I guess in the moment, maybe a different story on Sunday against the Orioles.
Well, and it comes at a time where they're not playing a lot of challenging teams. This is a very light time in their schedule. So take your time, Justin Verlander. Yordan Alvarez, his hand. This is something we've talked about as well, and we don't have a lot of answers on that yet. At least it doesn't feel like to me. But James Click did provide a little bit of clarity on Yordan's situation.
Yeah, it's something that has crept up a little bit recently, and we just felt like giving him a day off was a good chance to get ahead of it. We'll get a look at him today, but our hope is that similar to when he was battling this with the other hand, that it will be relatively short-term, and if he's not available today, I fully expect him to be available tomorrow.
All right, so it doesn't sound like anything too serious again, but the injuries are piling up.
The injuries are piling up, and I don't know.
Feels like I feel something creeping. A great, is it a bird? Is it a plane?
There's a signal
no,
up in the sky.
It's Panic Man.
Think your favorite team has it all figured out? Think again.
I thought what we had was special.
Sure, for now.
Oh, God. Oh, man. Oh, God. Oh, man. Oh, God.
Never fear. A superhero is here to remind you why your team's actually
up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Panic Man.
Yes, it is I, Panic Man. Justin Verlander on the 15-day IL, not the 10-day IL. You better freak out. You think it's just what he told you right there? You believe fake news. Yordan Alvarez, two injured hands? Yeah, he might have to have them amputated at some point in time. Can Yordan Alvarez swing a baseball bat with hooks? I can't say. I'm no doctor, but it doesn't sound like it. Uh-oh, Martin Maldonado out last night. He's going to be out today, too. He's got a sore hand as well. All these Astros players' hands are getting caught in the cookie jar. Can the Astros even play defense with Martin Maldonado out of the field? Not catching the ball from a pitcher? Ooh, Christian Vasquez had a catch last night. No, you should be panicking. Martin Maldonado is the key to the Astros season. Not the offense, not the pitching. It is him. Panic.
That was Panic Man, ladies and gentlemen. Pour one out. If you guys could see Paul right now, and for those of us, those of you on Twitch, you can. He does the whole hands on hips thing.
Yes.
He really gets into it.
I am a real superhero.
You have to get into the mood, and then
you have to get in the mood.
Deliver the voice. It makes you sound like some hard-o version of Superman. Not quite a Homelander, though. I do feel like I have some tendons.
So the Astros do take on the Rangers at 1:05 today, and then, like I said, you never want a time for injuries to pile up, but they then play the Angels. They then play the Rangers again.
Bums.
Then they play the Detroit Tigers, followed by the Oakland Athletics, the Tampa Bay Rays. They're kind of good. Baltimore Orioles and the Diamondbacks and the Rays and the Phillies. Okay, and that's their scheduled October 5th.
Largely a cupcake buffet. The last two series are kind of difficult.
Yeah, 100%, but let these guys heal at their own pace, because this is not something where and I know we want the number one seed. I know playoff home advantage is great. The bye is great. But in my opinion, it's like, let these guys heal fully.
I agree. And also, it doesn't seem like the Yankees are going to be able to get this back with the way that they have been playing of late. I mean, yeah, Aaron Judge is awesome right now and is probably going to win the American League MVP. But I think you can really experiment and let some of these young players play. I want to see what Yonier Diaz is capable of. I do want to, of course, see Trey Mancini continue to play and Christian Vasquez continue to play. That catch that Vasquez made last night was damn good. We were told
Are you
that,
a believer?
Right. Look.
Then I saw her face.
I'm a
Vasquez believer.
Major league players are generally good enough at the position side of things. They're generally not just bats, unless we're talking about someone who's more of a Trey Mancini type. But Vasquez deserves more opportunities behind the plate. That was a nice play to see from him. And, of course, he's hitting so much better than Maldonado. So, but anyway, back to I would like to see Diaz. I want to see them use Hunter Brown. I think at this point, like, really give these guys some extended reps. And with the many pitchers you have, maybe it's time to start thinking about, hey, how do we manage Framber Valdez's innings? Valdez has been a horse all season long, and that he went 8 innings in a game where he did allow 4 runs is pretty impressive after, you know, the 2 home runs that he allowed. It was the first time he had allowed 2 home runs. That 22 consecutive starts of quality start streak is really impressive, and good for him.
Yeah, it is good for him, and it's very, very good for the Astros. He, in the past with playoffs, hasn't looked confident. Now I think that when you look at the situation, he's somebody that's really reliable. I think Christian Vasquez looks more comfortable with this team. If you remember when he got traded, now his trade was awkward because it happened when the Red Sox were in town. He looked like a kid being dropped off for his first day of kindergarten that didn't want to leave his parents. I mean, he literally said to the Boston media, maybe I could join the Red Sox again after the season because he'll be a free agent. There was a moment, it was a couple of nights ago.
Sunday, right?
Where he and Alex Bregman did the Bregman look. You know, you guys, he raises the eyebrows, all of that. He does the stare. It's a classic Alex Bregman look. They did it together. I saw that. I thought Christian Vasquez, welcome to H-Town. It seems like he's at least more comfortable now. And you know what? He probably likes winning.
Yeah,
I think
so.
What a concept.
Yeah.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, hopefully the Texans can do some winning. They made some moves, baby. The roster has been cut. What surprised us? What didn't surprise us? Plus, the remnants of a Houston disaster, no, not Harvey, are now gone. That's coming up.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Free stuff. Free stuff. Hey, do you want to watch a fight this weekend?
Hell yeah.
How about Andy the Destroyer Ruiz? He's going to headline an epic night of fights when he squares off with Lewis King Kong Ortiz. How did he get that name? In an anticipated heavyweight brawl. Plus, Isaac Cruz, Eduardo Ramirez, the return of Abner Mares, and more. It's all Sunday, 8 o'clock, live from the Crypto.com Arena in L.A., live on pay-per-view. Guess what? Caller number 3 to 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. You get a free pay-per-view code for The Destroyer versus King Kong. Sounds like a sequel to those King Kong vs. Godzilla movies we've seen of late. I like it. You like it. Everybody likes it. Again, caller number 3 to 713-780-3776 for that pay-per-view code. And you can, of course, pay-per-view it yourself if you don't get in on that action.
All right. Listen to the man. Start calling in. All right. We had some Texans news yesterday. It was roster trim day. You had to get it down to 53, and the Texans did so. We obviously want your opinions on this as well. 713-780-3776. Did anything surprise you? Did anything, any players stay on the roster that you do not want on this roster? Did anybody get cut that you thought, hey, I thought he'd be a good weapon? My surprise was Marlon Mack. Do you think Rex Burkhead's better than Marlon Mack?
It's a good question. I actually do.
Okay. Fair.
But Burkhead's older. Burkhead didn't show the kind of explosion that Marlon Mack did at the end of that game against the San Francisco 49ers when he had the, 24-yard run or so. Now, he was in late in that game, so I guess it's not that surprising that he got cut. I think the reason, Vanessa, that they moved on from Marlon Mack was partly due to the fact that they just like Rex Burkhead more.
They are fans. We do know this.
Yeah.
But Mack was listed as first string at the beginning of training camp. I know that doesn't mean anything. I'm just saying to go from that to being cut when you're not known to have a really great running back room is a little surprising to me.
If Damian Pierce, and I'm wearing a Florida Gator shirt today, chomp chomp, if Pierce wasn't as good as he was, Mack might still be on the roster. But right now, would you want to give a running back like Marlon Mack? I'm not really trying to spin zone this, too. I actually have a serious question. Would you want Marlon Mack to eat in to Pierce's carries? Because his presence on the roster would probably do that. And the other factor that I think the Texans thought about here is Marlon Mack going to play on any special team snaps? Because the other running backs that they have on the roster have played on special team snaps. Mack, I think, only played on one. When you are talking about running back 3 and running back number 4 and running back number 5, generally you are looking for guys who can do a bunch of different things for you.
Versatile, as O'Brien used to say.
I will say that maybe special teams are a tad overrated in today's NFL, given that I want to say like 40 kick returns a season, 30 punt returns a season, or maybe it's the other way around. 30 kick returns, 40 punt returns actually happen per team generally, based off of some study I heard discussed on a podcast last night. So might be a little overstated, but I get why they moved on from Mack. I think it's mostly because he doesn't do anything on special teams.
All right, Jeff Driscoll was also cut. I was surprised by this. My guess is that he's going to be a practice squad guy because I know this regime really likes him. He also played some tight end, so Jeff Driscoll, Mr. Versatility as well.
Yeah, I don't blame them for that one. I think that they're looking at themselves
in the mirror. I think it was the right move. I was just surprised.
Yeah, yeah.
They like him.
I understand that. Look, having more than two quarterbacks on a roster, it's not necessary for a team that's likely to be outside of the playoffs at the end of the year. If it's a team that has more offensive line questions, and I think the Texans feel pretty confident in their offensive line going into this year, especially compared to last year, I think they believe that Mills is going to be healthy for the most part this year. I will say Mills is going to have to protect himself so that he doesn't have the best protection ultimately, but this offensive line should be better, and you only keep a quarterback on the roster because you feel like there might be a danger of getting down to that third string quarterback. And of course, too, if you're on a good team, yeah, you want to have that extra option.
You know, I know that a lot of witchy women are into numbers now, like witchy Aaron Rodgers' girlfriend, Blue of Earth, and we talked about Framber Valdez's 22nd consecutive starts, quality starts. We talked about Jose Altuve's 22nd home run. Can I take it back to March 22nd of 2020?
Whoa.
When one DeAndre Hopkins was traded for, as Michael Irvin put it, a ham sandwich. David Johnson and a pick, all that the Texans got. That pick turned into Ross Blacklock. Ross Blacklock yesterday was not cut. But he was traded to the Vikings.
Yeah, he was turned in.
The last remnants of the DeAndre Hopkins trade, which we now know per multiple reports was an O'Brien Easterby brainchild trade.
And look, I mean, a lot of people are going to hate on the end of that move. But, I mean, Ross Blacklock, you got a sixth-round pick for him.
Yeah, nice.
So
it's kind of the standard in the NFL, right?
I mean, yeah, look, you think you something? You think you're so cool talking about Ross Blacklock? Well, guess what? Nick Caserio turned him into late-round draft picks. So how about that? But yeah, I mean, it's the end of an era. I think that we are now officially flushing the toilet on the Bill O'Brien regime. And while there might be a little stank in the air, it's no longer something that resembles a toll booth restroom. This is, for people who don't live in Texas and don't have a Buc-ee's that they have on the side of the road with the immaculate toilets that they have there. If you're driving on the New Jersey Turnpike and say you gotta go, those bathrooms are toxic wastelands. That's what the Texans were for a little bit, but someone got a little Febreze. Like, we're finally past it. The O'Brien era is completely in the rearview mirror. They also moved on from Max Sharping to another second-round pick of a couple of years ago.
Max Sharping, Kevin Pierre-Louis, there were a couple of other, I guess, noteworthy names that are no longer with the Texans. But I do want to focus on that Ross Blacklock trade and what you said, the remnants of that deal. I do think it's time Houston fans put it behind them, but it's hard to forget the absolute shock from that day when it seemed like O'Brien made an emotional decision. How long do you think that it's going to take Texans fans to really get past that? Because I think for the most part, with Nick Caserio coming in, some fresh blood, they have moved past it. But it's hard. I mean, is it going to take him having a bad season? We know he's out for the first six games. Is it going to take Hopkins having a bad season for Texans fans to really put it behind them?
Well, there are some who are trying to spin zone that the Hopkins trade isn't as bad as it's been. And I understand why, because if you take a look at what Brandon Cooks has been doing at half of the cost over the last couple of seasons, the production is pretty damn similar to that of Hopkins, who has been dealing with some injury issues before the actual suspension itself. So you can spin it if you want. To answer your question, though, it's going to take until these young players actually develop into players that are worth remembering the names of. I think that what's been also frustrating about the Texans over the last couple of years is not just that they completely cratered, their quarterback was found out to be a pervert, all sorts of things along those lines. It's that they became a faceless entity.
Yeah.
I mean, who is the most popular Houston Texan football player? Is it Brandon Cooks?
I think definitely probably Brandon Cooks at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, Davis Mills, if he has a good season, will be on the, you know, the face of the tickets next year.
But this is a guy that I think still has a lot to prove. Like, that's the cherry on top of the absolute dumpster fire that we've seen the last couple of seasons, is that you don't recognize anybody. I mean, shoot, you're letting Whitney Mercilus go so he can go find a good team.
J.J. Watt, go find yourself, J.J. Watt.
Seriously.
He was also in the desert now, by the way. Yeah, Chad Forbes at NFL Draft Bites tweeted this. I'm glad you brought this up. Stats nobody ever mentions. Past two seasons, Brandon Cooks, 31 games, 171 catches for 2,187 yards and 12 touchdowns. Paid $21.158 million per year.
Mm.
DeAndre Hopkins, 26 games, 157 catches for 1,979 yards and 14 touchdowns. Paid $40.979 million.
Ooh.
So Brandon Cooks has played more, caught more, etc. My first reaction when I see this is that obviously Brandon Cooks was the main guy on the Texans, so of course he's going to have more catches and whatnot. But do you think this is a legit point?
No, I don't think it's legitimate because sure that he is Brandon Cooks has been outperformed, but that doesn't make the trade of DeAndre right. Hopkins good. You still got a crappy running back and a second round pick that you turn into a guy with like 30 career tackles and is getting cut after three seasons. Like that. So yes, moving off of DeAndre Hopkins to get Brandon Cooks, might have been a good move, but the way you did it was just a complete misunderstanding of what, you know, at the time, what, a top three receiver in the league was worth?
You're spin zoning it in your own brain to make it so that the trade didn't even happen, but this was not a straight-up swap for Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, they also had a trade for Brandon Cooks, so they gave up another pick to get him.
Exactly.
Even if it turns out that DeAndre Hopkins, the rest of his career is a bust, which I highly doubt. But even in that scenario, that doesn't make it a good trade.
No, it doesn't.
It will never have been a good trade. It was a disaster, and it was, like we said, an emotional decision by O'Brien.
That's the kind of stuff I expect from all these like new kid on the block Texans people. And yeah, I'm going to be the old fuddy-duddy. I wear a robe to bed. I wear slippers.
Don't forget, you fell asleep with the slipper.
The little ball on the end of your cap moves up and down as you snore.
Yeah. I haven't worn the nightcap yet. It's coming at some point down the road. All I'm saying is there's a lot of people online that have this. They've like started covering the team since I've been gone, and I don't even think they live here. Like, you don't even go here. And they've had some very.
She doesn't even go here.
Or they graduated high school since you've been gone.
That might be it, too. They're very optimistic about things and like have done things along those lines where they're comparing the statistics. That trade was a bleeping abomination. But the good thing, again, is like put some Febreze in the air. The stank of the toilet Bill O'Brien just destroyed, it's dissipating.
So
Blacklock is gone. Go ahead, Sean.
Sharp and gone, too.
So can I give you another wide receiver trade from 2020? The Stephon Diggs trade.
Ooh. Yeah.
At the time, was not considered nearly the wide receiver that DeAndre Hopkins was. He got traded for a first-round pick that turned to Justin Jefferson.
Oh.
A fifth-round pick, a sixth-round pick, and then in 2021, a fourth-round pick.
I will never forget the first press conference O'Brien had after that trade. Now, this was the DeAndre Hopkins trade, by the way, happened the week before COVID hit. So this was the first like Zoom press conference that we had had.
Wow. And
I'll never forget the spin zone of O'Brien trying to defend this god awful trade. But like you said, that trade, any wide receiver trade for the next 2 years got compared to DeAndre Hopkins and what a mess that was.
And every team got more
100%
than the Texans got.
Does Wuhan have any links to the Houston Texans organization?
O'Brien,
I'm just asking the question.
I have COVID brain. If he gets on a podcast anytime soon, that should be a spin zone.
I need to see an O'Brien interview.
I made that trade.
He's the offensive coordinator of Alabama. We need to see an O'Brien interview. I don't know if it'll ever happen, but
shoot him a text?
Yeah, I don't think he'd text you back.
Oh, yeah.
He actually has.
Wait, but then why haven't you?
Because I don't know how it would be received if we had him on. I feel like everyone would want us to be, like, very antagonistic with him on the air.
Oh,
if we would interview him. That's generally what is expected when you have somebody on like that. The people that are listening are like, yeah, get him. And I'm like, I mean, I don't know.
We could be good cop, bad cop.
The time is – that's true. You know what? We could do good cop, bad cop. And I could get
cop.
The character – you know, I'll buy a costume.
Yeah, I'm sure you
Hell
would.
Yeah.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, no more costumes on this show. 8 days until the NFL. We're going to go around the NFL with some of the biggest stories in the league. That's next.
ESPN. 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Vanessa and Gallant.
All right, guys, we are so close. We are 8 days away from the NFL regular season kicking off. Paul Gallant, I can think of a very notable number eight. Who do you have?
Oh, yeah, like Steve Young.
That wasn't what I was going with. Who else you got?
Archie Manning.
Love me some Mannings, but that's not who I was thinking of either.
Morton Anderson. Kicker. One of the best of all time. Ray Guy, punter, maybe the best punter of all time. And what? Who are you, have I gotten warm?
Some great specialists.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's somebody that has a beer out.
Okay. Kirk Cousins. I bet he has a beer out.
Yeah, no. He also is the number one broadcast team now for ESPN.
Oh, Matt Hasselbeck?
No, but that's
you were number
guess.
Eight. Mark Brunell?
Did Greasy, maybe?
Yeah. These guys are all number eights. Sam Bradford, he might be a broadcaster.
In fact, his beer is actually called Eight.
Oh, you're talking about Troy Aikman.
Yeah.
Well, Troy Aikman never played. Troy Aikman's a broadcaster and a beer salesman. He's
Troy
never
Aikman.
Played football.
Troy Aikman.
No, he's never played. Come on.
I thought he might have won a couple Super Bowls.
No. You're thinking of somebody else.
I just love that you're trolling Cowboys fans right now, by the way. If you want to call in and cuss Paul out, it's 713-780-3776.
By the way, the number eight, if it's followed by another eight, very cancelable. So good job by Troy Aikman not naming his beer 8-8 like some beers have. Good God, it's concerning.
Yeah, no kidding.
We
you
talked
gave
about
me an
that
education
at the end of the show
lesson
once.
On that.
Yeah. All right. 8-8, bad.
So there is some news. Marlon Mack is expected to be brought up to the practice squad for the Houston Texans. I do like this move. To your point, obviously he was not going to be running back one. I do think
starting
that if he could get healthy off of what?
Starting running back.
Running back one. If he can get healthy off of that starting, if he can get healthy off that ACL tear and can like actually really recover from that, I think that he's a good guy to have around in case something goes wrong.
I'm surprised that no one else claimed him.
Yeah.
I guess. You would think that there's somebody out there that says, hey, this is the guy that's had a pretty good season in the league before. But he's on the practice squad, and yeah, if someone gets hurt now they have him as a reserve, at least for now, assuming that no other running back across the league gets hurt, that needs to find somebody to be a replacement at the last second.
All right, I want to hear if you guys believe this from Kyle Shanahan, and I tried to find this sound and I couldn't last night. Here was what he said in a press conference on his quarterback situation. Quote, when I told Trey that Jimmy's going to come back, he's like, awesome. That dude was awesome for me last year. I can't wait to be the same way. End quote. Do you believe that Trey Lance was actually happy that Jimmy G's coming back?
Well, it won't be the same way. Jimmy probably won't be playing. So it won't be the same mentor-mentee relationship.
How confident are you in that probably?
I was going to say, you think he's not going to play?
Definitely not week one.
He well, not week one. He's not team. Starting. Yeah, but you don't think there's a scenario where Trey Lance isn't good and Jimmy G's
yeah,
the
no.
starter?
Yes. That is a chance, but I bet Trey Lance isn't like, oh, it'll be great when he takes my job in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Let's take a look really quickly at the opening San Francisco 49ers schedule. So, Bears week one. Mock.
Boom. Preseason game four.
Essentially, yes. Seahawks week two. Seattle's played them well, but it's Geno Smith we're talking about under center. Week three, Broncos. Week four, Rams. Week five, Panthers, week six, Falcons. I don't see them finding themselves at a point where it's 1-5 and they need to move to Jimmy Garoppolo. If it happens, it would be probably later in the year or if Lance gets hurt. But I do think it's going to happen. I do think we're going to see Jimmy G back out
there. Jimmy G is 100% going to be under center for the 49ers. I don't think that there's even a question. All right. When you talk about franchises that don't pick well, the Raiders come to mind. There are all of these charts, all of these stats. It's always a national media narrative. And yesterday, their first round pick from last year, Alex Leatherwood, got cut.
They cut him a year after drafting him. And I think this is another just glaring example of how Mike Mayock probably should not have been a general manager. I remember one time, this was before the Texans traded for him, Vanessa, where he was at Patriots training camp, and clearly Bill Belichick had spoken to him and said, like, Ryan Mallett's arm has a lot of pop. And then Ryan Mallett hype started all of a sudden, because clearly the Patriots were shopping him. And then, of course, the Texans made the trade for Ryan Mallett, which did not work out particularly well. So Mike Mayock was not a very good general manager. Here are all of the picks that they have made in the first round since 2019. Jonathan Abram, a safety. You might have remembered him from Hard Knocks. His fifth-year option was declined. Josh Jacobs, who actually has had some good moments, his fifth-year option declined. 2019 also, Cleveland Farrell, his fifth-year option declined. And if I'm not mistaken, all of those first-round picks were part of the Khalil Mack trade. 2020, Damon Arnett, cut.
Wow.
2020, Henry Ruggs, cut. Different circumstance with Henry Ruggs, obviously, with the DUI manslaughter and going to jail. But that is nuts that you have had, over the course of 3 years, six first-round draft picks, and you are not invested in any of them long-term.
They have as many guys in jail currently as currently on the Raiders.
Wow. Hey, that's what nobody's talking about.
There's more guys in prison.
Tashaun Gibson, Texans legend, safety, has been cut from the 49ers as well.
Pour one out.
Yeah, pour one. He actually had a couple good games with the Texans, but hasn't been able to stick on a roster since.
I remember that he was billed as the tight end eraser, and that he was supposed to, against Travis Kelce's, Rob Gronkowski's, completely take them out of a game. Didn't exactly go that way.
And they did, because they always beat the Chiefs and the Patriots, famously.
Gibson was good with those Jacksonville Jaguars teams back in the day.
Yeah, true.
When they had those good defenses.
Colts linebacker Shaquille, the artist formerly known as Darius Leonard, will be eligible to play the first four games of the season after he was removed from the pup
list.
Damn
it.
Yeah.
Sorry, I hate to say it like this, but again, I will take whatever I possibly can for a team that I follow or cover. I will take every advantage I can get. I'm not rooting for injury. I'm just rooting for the easiest possible opponent.
I will say this, though. Frank Reich didn't make it sound like he'd be 100%. So will he play week one? I don't know. I just think that they think there's a chance he's ready with 2 to 3 games. That's the impression I got. But yeah, I mean, the Texans definitely can use any help that they have against them. The Colts actually released Kiki QT as well.
Kiki
QT! As well as Phillip Lindsay.
Pour one out!
Do any former Texans still have a job?
I don't know.
Did he want? DeAndre Hopkins? Wait, he's suspended.
Yeah. Not going to see him on the field.
That is a segment we could do. Former Texans.
It's a depressing segment.
It actually is. Where's Carlos Hyde, by the way? Is Carlos still around?
We'll have to check LinkedIn for a lot of these
guys.
We
have to, yeah. Insurance sales, auto sales.
I bet Hyde...
Entrepreneurship.
Okay. Wild guess. Hyde's on the Ohio State coaching staff now.
I think he was on the Jags last year.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
So, yes.
Urban Meyer liked him and not the guy, James Robinson, who had had an awesome season the year before. He was like, who's this guy?
And he wanted to play Travis Etienne at wide receiver because they couldn't get Kadarius Toney.
He also hired the racist coach, had a girl grind on him at his own restaurant in Ohio. Had Tim Tebow come in.
Kick the kicker.
And you know what?
That part was fine.
Luckily, he gets a second chance.
He is now back with the Fox broadcast. To be on national television.
I like how Fox, by the way, buried that announcement. They sent it in a press release at like 6 p.m. on Friday. And they didn't even announce it as an individual thing. It was like, oh, by the way, the studio show will involve Urban Meyer.
Here's our studio show lineup.
What's the crossover of college football fans and NFL fans? Because I imagine there are some college football fans who are like, oh, Urban Meyer's back. Where was he? Like, do they remember?
Yeah, that could be true.
I think everyone knows what
happened.
I think people know, but to your point, do they care as much as NFL fans?
No, they're
probably
like,
not.
That's the great Ohio State and Florida head coach.
Well,
Donald Trump.
Hey, when you talk about guys that have to stay healthy, Urban Meyer's up there, right? Hasn't he had like 6 aneurysms and a heart attack? Or am I misreading that?
But he's also had like 4 coaching jobs after he cited the health conditions to get out of the Florida job.
What's the co-ed count?
Yeah, there you go.
At least one.
It ages a man.
Ages. Time to tell you about our friends, guys, at BUSR. Football season is right around the corner, so you are going to see Urban Meyer every Saturday. Thank God. Baseball, by the way, is in full swing, and there's never been a better time. BUSR.com/ESPN. They're going to double your deposit within the first 24 hours. Do you have an NFL futures bet that you know will cash in? You're confident on who's going to the Super Bowl. The Texans, by the way, over-under set at 4.5 games. Do you think Money Mills is going to win more? Or do you think it's going to be like it has been the last couple years? Maybe you think the Astros are World Series champ locked. That's at plus 400, by the way. You can do that at BUSR.com/ESPN. Start placing your bets. Maybe you're more of a roulette guy. Maybe you're more of a blackjack gal. The good news for you is you can do it all at BUSR.com/ESPN.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, we're going to talk about sports uniforms in a second, so I'm going to ask you guys now, 713-780-3776, which Houston throwback uniform would you like to see come back? Again, we'll get to that in a second, so stick around for that. I do want to touch on, you know, I'm a big sports media nerd.
You're obsessed.
And we all have a...
I thought I was, and then I met you.
Yeah, that's true. I will say...
You're like, I can't believe this person is moving on up, or I can't believe this person got fired, and I'm like, who is this person?
You don't even know who they are. I will say I'm not a big FS1 consumer. Like, I actually watch, for the most part, ESPN and good NFL Network for the most part.
Yeah, you're a big Good Morning Football gal.
I like, yeah, not so much anymore.
Well,
it's not as good without
changed.
Nate Burleson and Kay Adams, but it's still okay. So ESPN and NFL Network are what I usually do, but Fox Sports has changed their lineup now, I think, to compete a little more. So you're still going to have some of the shows in the same spot, but there will now be a show called The Carton Show at 6 a.m.
Craig Carton,
time.
Who famously went to jail.
Yeah.
I always think that surely that's not the same Craig Carton. And yep, always is.
Now, what did he go to jail for?
I believe
insider trading or something.
Yikes.
And something that I think involved gambling as well. I don't know the specifics. So, Sean, you can look that up. Here's what I do know about Craig Carton is that Craig Carton hosted at the same radio station in college that I did.
There you go. Was he a Syracuse guy?
He was a Syracuse guy, but he wasn't one of the Syracuse guys that went over to WAER. And I used to be very happy about the fact that I associated with Craig Carton and not the other people that were at that the nerdy, like fancy, we're elitists part of Syracuse University. But now, yeah, he is a
there's elitism
ex-felon.
Within Syracuse.
Well, there is.
Good to know.
Yeah, you would be surprised.
Undisputed is going to be at 8:30. The Herd will still be at 11 a.m.
Undisputed is
Central.
Is the Skip Bayless and
Skip and Shannon.
Shannon Sharp show.
The Herd is going to be on at 12 p.m. Eastern time still, but Joy Taylor won't be there anymore. It's going to be Jason McIntyre in her spot.
First Things First will now be at
2 p.m.
I hate the big lead because of him.
Which I don't understand. How can it be called First Things First if it's not a morning show?
Second Things Third.
It's technically Fourth Things Fourth.
Speak for your pizza. I mean, all these show titles are dumb.
The funny thing is it still could be FTF on FS1. It's just Four Things Fourth.
Fourth
say that.
Things fourth.
Fourth things fourth. Fourth
things fifth, fourth.
Fifth things fourth. Three at four.
Four things thwarted.
Shout out to Nick Wright, who I like.
It is now called Speak instead of Speak for Yourself, and it is LaShawn McCoy, Acho, and Joy Taylor.
I thought it was
she
Speak
will join
for Your Pizza.
Show.
It's Speak for Yourself.
No, it's now just Speak.
And it's not cold pizza.
It's the funniest thing that they rebranded that one, where
right.
It's like, Speak for Yourself is the most like, yeah, no, everyone on TV is speaking for themselves.
Right.
But now they're not even doing that.
It's
they are just talking.
I think they should speak for their take.
I think they should just speak.
Speak.
There's going to be NASCAR Race Hub, which I catch every now and then. But
we have I have a different show name for that one.
Okay.
Because of Emmanuel Acho and noted dirtbag LaShawn McCoy.
He spoiled Avengers Endgame. Famously.
That and...
Yeah.
Did you remember the birthday invitations he had where he said, you must look like this and you must dress like this to all women that he invited to the party?
I don't remember
this
that.
This guy's an absolute weasel. So, okay, you have Leader of Men, Emmanuel Acho, who wrote a book.
In order to have success, you must be successful.
And has a Lexus ad. So my alternative title for the new show Speak is Stop. Just stop. No, we don't need it anymore.
Yeah, there you go. All right, what we do need, we need some good uniforms. We need some good throwback uniforms. And the Hardwood Classic uniforms have been unveiled for the Houston Rockets. They pay homage to the franchise's time in San Diego. So I tried to pull up an old picture of Elvin Hayes. It was slightly blurry, but he was one that was in these, and they're the white edition, so they're not the green. They're white base, but then they have the yellow and the green for the San Diego Rockets. I got to tell you, I actually like them. I think they're different. I think they're simple without being too loud. What do you guys think?
Screw this. This is stupid.
You don't like it?
I think they look good, but that's not the point.
Okay.
They stole this team from San Diego. Don't rub in the face of the city that you used to play in, that you used to play there.
It's been a long time, man.
I don't care. I don't. If I'm being consistent where I don't think the Titans should be allowed to wear Oilers jerseys. I don't think that the Rockets should be allowed to wear San Diego uniforms. I don't think that, and there's actually like legitimate litigation that went into this. The Oklahoma City Thunder, you never see them wearing Seattle Sonics gear, and they should never be allowed to do that. Look, at least it's the same team name, but I don't like, hey, we're giving a shout out to our past in San Diego. Well, there's probably some people in San Diego that would still like to have the Rockets there.
Do people in San Diego even like sports? I mean, the Chargers are gone. I mean, yeah, you have the Padres, I guess.
They were pretty bummed out about the Chargers being gone.
Yeah.
It's a small town. The Padres, at the very least, are putting a ton of money into being the one team that is in a major professional
sports. Those are bad uniforms, by the way.
In town. Yeah, they look like poo and pee. Not exactly the best look. I mean, I like green and gold, the colors. I just feel like this is like what the Lakers are doing with the Minneapolis jerseys that they have. Like, no, you're the Los Angeles Lakers. Stop claiming a past that is so far behind. And especially when you're a team that's won as many titles. Stop reminding Minnesota, hey, we had you, and now we have the Timberwolves.
I think this is just for this year, and I hope it is, because I remember when I worked for the Indiana Pacers, they did the Hickory uniforms, which were paying homage, of course, to the Milan team, the movie Hoosiers, whatever. And they were cool for a year. Like, everybody bought the gear. It was very Indiana. But they had signed a 5-year deal with whoever made these uniforms. I don't remember if it was Adidas or Nike. And by year three, people were like, well, why are the Pacers wearing red and gold? And they would do it on the road, too.
Mm.
So it didn't make a lot of sense. So I hope these are just for home games and select home games, because I think then it makes more sense. But I don't hate them. What do you guys like as far as throwback uniforms in Houston sports history? You can go Cougs, Astros, Rockets, I guess the Texans. I don't know if the Texans
Oilers.
Would have any throwback.
Oilers.
Dynamo.
Yeah, shout out to Brian Ching.
They've had multiple looks. The Oilers had the sickest uniforms. I love that Columbia blue. It sucks that the Titans stole that away in addition to the history of football in Houston up to 2002 and is now all in Nashville. That look is great. I've always wanted the Texans to try to do some sort of knockoff version of their uniforms, because I've always liked the white helmet, the stripes that they had on the helmet, the red face mask, complemented everything so well. When they were in their all-whites, it looked super clean. Yeah, to me, the Oilers look is fantastic. Follow closely by, and this is what I strongly believe, the Rockets ketchup and mustard look that they had when they won the title in 94 and 95, that is the look that they should never have gone away from. And it's weird. They changed their uniforms to the pinstripe pajama jerseys right after they win the title, which is weird. When you win a title, you should stick with the look that you won the title with. You know, I never thought the Patriots had the best uniforms, but when they changed their uniform to the look that they had before they just changed it a couple of years ago, they won all 6 Super Bowls. You would associate that look with that era. You should continue to go with that as long as you possibly can. Unless you really feel like you need a dramatic rebrand. So
Double Rods on Twitch said, I got to say, growing up with the Oilers, I didn't always like the baby blue color, but now I miss it.
Nostalgia.
I'm a Tequila Sunrise girl for the Astros, even way before I worked in Houston, way before I worked there. I personally, and this is like one of the most divisive uniform opinions, not only in Houston, but when you look up like best worst uniforms, you'll find Tequila Sunrise on both lists. I like the Tequila Sunrise
changed
uniforms.
Over time.
I would like the Astros to wear them, not obviously full time, but maybe for like 15 home games a year. They're classic.
More than how much they wear, because they do wear it occasionally, but they've worn these like the jerseys they wore last night, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, because they might have been wearing that to kind of subtly throw some shade at the Texas Rangers after Hurricane Harvey and not being allowed to swap series with the Rangers. But there is something about the uniform that they're wearing like last night. It's kind of Tequila Sunrise. They seem to wear that more than the actual Tequila Sunrise look that they have.
When's the last time they wore Tequila Sunrise? It's been a while. I was talking to Julian Morales about this.
It happened this year. I don't remember when, though.
Oh, did they?
No, they didn't.
Didn't they wear it at one point this year?
I was going to say, I I think I remember the famous Sports Illustrated cover where they predict that the Astros are going to be the 2017 champions in like 2014. I want to say George Springer's wearing the throwback jersey.
He definitely is there. I could have sworn that they wore it at some point this year.
It's not necessarily about like when they've worn it. It's just what's your favorite. So yeah. So like it's not about how, but what do you want to, Sean, what's your favorite Houston throwback uniform?
Oh, my longstanding take is like the McLean or the McLeans,
Grade McLean era?
The McNairs should just keep writing blank checks until the Tennessee Titans are like, yeah, you can wear Oilers stuff because there is a price.
Both, it's Oilers for both of you.
Yes.
I'd also say though, the Astros had this weird phase where they were a lot like Ben McAdoo trying to find a new look. And I think there was a idea that the Tequila Sunrise jerseys were like effeminate or something like that back in the 90s. So they switched to these like blue and gold unis. I actually don't hate them. They're hard to find anywhere. The brick unis that they had in the Drayden McLean era and during the first World Series run against the White Sox, those are not good.
Did involve the red?
Yeah.
I don't like the pinstripes and the red.
Yeah. I didn't either. It's weird, and it's so different than what they have now. I'll admit, though, too, like just the current uniforms that they have, I think they should wear those. If they're not going to wear the Tequila Sunrise jerseys, they should wear the orange jerseys all the time. The orange jerseys, I think, are very clean.
What about Fi Slam? Have you seen the photos of the Fi Slam pajama? Because we've gotten that a couple times on the Twitch line, as well as the Colt 45 uniforms.
Colt 45.
The Colt 45. But we were nice.
It would go. Those hats would sell out like in a
100%.
Second. And the uniforms would all just sell out like in a split second if they started selling Colt 45
stuff. People would go
again
to jail for wearing them because you can't do that in 2022.
Gun control. Well, anything with a gun, you definitely can't have. Do you guys think it matters how often? Because I get what you're saying. It's like you don't want to oversaturate it. Like with the hardwood uniforms, the hardwood classics for the Rockets. I think if they wear them too much, it becomes... And I didn't read the press release, so I don't know what the plan is.
I could have gone with another year of them wearing the pajama uniforms that they wore last year, just because it is kind of like... It's like what we were saying. I think I mentioned this before the show, where the pajama uniforms and a lot of... And Double Rods talked about not liking the Oilers when he was a kid. No one likes these uniforms until like after you stop wearing them. And then there's like a 10 year grace period until people come around like, you know, what's great. Those old pajama uniforms.
Nostalgia.
It's just like, I'm sure like whatever awful, like, you know, if the Rockets full time change their uniforms and then in 15 years, people are going to be like, you know what they should bring back? Those James Harden, Yao Ming era Rocket uniforms, the Tracy McGrady uniform. Like, all this is so cyclical that, you know, I think that there's looks that work, and then you should kind of rotate the throwbacks as they kind of come back in style.
Yeah, somebody on Twitch brought up the fact that we all liked the jerseys when we were kids. I do think there's the element of nostalgia
because as I was thinking of it, I was like, yeah, no, I like the old Rockets ones, like from whatever, the Steve Francis era.
Right, what you remember. We'll talk about it later in the show as well, but coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're going to tell you about the Texans roster cuts, and you got to hear this, what we think was supposed to be an off-the-record story with Baker Mayfield that became very, very public. But first, Paul is going to tell you about boxing.
Yo, you want to fight this weekend, huh? We gave
Let's
away
fight.
Some tickets. Andy, the Destroyer, Ruiz Jr. is going to headline an epic night of fights when he takes on Luis King Kong Ortiz in a highly anticipated all-out heavyweight brawl. Plus, Isaac Pitbull Cruz versus Eduardo Ramirez. You're going to have Abner Meres going up against Miguel Flores, Jose Valenzuela against Jezreel Corrales. All of it goes down 8 o'clock Sunday Central Time, live from the Crypto.com Arena in L.A. It's live on pay-per-view. Come on, look at all these nicknames. I mean, of course it's going to deliver on the hype. And plus, there's no actual football this weekend. There's no football on Sunday. This is your last Sunday to watch something other than football. So what are you doing with your life? Watch Andy the Destroyer against Luis King Kong. And it's going to be fantastic. Again, the pay-per-view, you can find it online. Make sure that you get those tickets.
ESPN 97.5.